Bless the Lord, everybody. Ain't God good to us? I can't tell. Ain't God good to us? Yes, he is. Amen. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to come and teach again. It's been a while, so I'm about to shake the dust off, but we're going to get it together. Let's go ahead and move quickly. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, at the 14th verse. 2 Corinthians, second chapter, at the 14th verse. Say amen when you have it. Amen. If I can get it together. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, at the 14th verse. Boy, I sure need to put my glasses on. It says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us to triumphal procession, and thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us into triumphant entry. Triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Amen? Yes, ma'am. That's coming from the New King James Version. Yes, ma'am. Reading that, if I had a title, I would call it, "Are You an Aroma or an Odor?" Are you an aroma or are you an odor? Now, you know, as always, when I have the opportunity, hey, brother, we're going to get a definition of the word, terms that we're using. So if we were to get a definition for fragrance, it would be a sweet, pleasant smell. A sweet, pleasing smell for fragrance. But if we were to define an odor is a distinctive, unpleasant scent. Hear me what I'm saying, distinctive. You know, funny how you can play on words with that, because it's an odor and it is distinctive. Amen? You know, if I want to be more clear about it, you ever been you know, downtown somewhere, jumped in the elevator, and all of a sudden you're like, because the person who just walked out when you was coming in left you a present. Yeah, yeah, that's an odor. But, you know, we live in a time where fragrance plays a big part in all of our lives. You know, on TV, they try to sell you with detergent, you know, to get the odors away. You know, they try to get you to buy deodorant to get the odors away. They sell you perfume and cologne because they want you to get the odor away. But you know what? You know anybody who just loves to be around odors? I don't. I don't know anybody who just want to be around funk, for lack of a better word. But see, scents also play in our emotions. What are you talking about, Ray? Well, let me tell you. Because, see, a scent is either going to make you want to stay where you are because it's pleasant, or if it's an odor, it makes you ready to get up out of there as quickly as you can because it stinks in here. Am I right? Amen. So, you know, give me an example. I smoked for 17 years, you know, and love smoking, you know, especially at the club. You know, I'm in a club, I might, you know, if I'm drinking, I might smoke a half pack of cigarettes just in that span of time. But when God delivered me from cigarettes, the scent and the smell of cigarettes is absolutely repulsive to me now. I mean, it gives me heartburn. And I thank the Lord for delivering me from that, because I don't know if you guys know this, but I've had two throat surgeries. where I had to have polyps removed from my vocal cords. And quite honestly, I didn't know if I would ever sing again. You know, and this is when I'm going hard. I'm a worship leader and all this. I'm a choir director. I'm going hard, and all of a sudden, could not speak, could not say one word for 2 weeks. So, am I right, ma'am? Where's my baby? Because I had to have a bell. Boy, I ran everybody crazy, boy. Because I can't say, hey, can you help me with this? So it's ding, 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 ding. You know, my wife hid that bell. Oh, man. And so, you know, sense also, I'm getting somewhere, I promise. Sense also make you form an opinion of people. Am I right? Because, see, you know, I've always, you know, had a lot of female friends. You know, we just buddies and stuff, you know. And the one thing that I knew about women, if a guy looked halfway good and he smelled good, the women would lose their mind. Oh, girl, he's fine and he smelled good. Oh, my God. You know, next thing you know, ask for child support. Oh, man. But, you know, the opposite is true also. Because you let somebody who stink come around you, you're doing your best to get away from it, especially in the mouth. You know, they all clean and everything, but they walk up to you, bam, oh, man, bro, you want some gum? No, I'm good. No, bro, you want some gum. You know, you feel me? So, you know, and then you got those that don't use deodorant, you know, and you got those that spray the cologne on top of the funk. You know, y'all know them. Everybody know them. You know, you walking around smelling like a sweaty bag of onions with soaked in vinegar, boy. I'll tell you something real quick. I remember when we were in high school, there was this young lady, and she didn't know it, but we called her Funk Bomb. Because, what y'all up there tripping? What y'all talking about? What y'all talking about? What's funny? But we called her that because she played basketball. And I'm here to tell you, this girl was fine. I mean, brick house. You don't hear me. But when practice was over, oh my gosh, you talk about odoriferous. It was bad, and we all rode the activity bus home together. So, you know, we're like, yeah, you gonna sit in the back and let that window down, but put all these windows down, boy, because this ain't right. And I mean, and the thing about it is that everybody knew who it was. You know, just bag of hunting. It's not like, you know, salami that didn't set out in the sun, boy. Just ooh. So, Nick Relations 3:16 says that thou shalt take a bath if thou stinketh, because if you smelleth, so does everybody else. Amen. If you smell it, everybody else can too. So mark that in your book, Nick Relations 3:16. Yeah. Oh, but real talk. Don't you think God sees that too? Don't you think the Lord sees that in us too? When we do our best to try to make ourselves a fragrance, when he knows that we're an odor. See, because we can walk around and praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, and God bless you. And all these, you know, oh, God is good all the time. God is, hey, you know, all that old stuff. Just as nothing but a big old odor. I can't say what I really want to say, but God's not pleased with fakery. Amen. Am I right about it? But see, here's the thing. God loves a fragrant offering. And so he loves it so much that he gave it to us to give back to him. You know, I mean, you know, from times past, even to now. Turn your Bibles real quick. Well, you know what? Genesis 8 at the 20th verse. I'll go ahead and read because we moving. So Genesis 8:20, praise the Lord, I got my glasses. Then Noah built an ark. No, I'm sorry. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled a pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Even though God know we evil, he still gives us the opportunity to give him a fragrant offering. Noah got a covenant with God because he was obedient in giving him the sweet aroma that he seeked. He said he sacrificed clean and animals and birds. And when the Lord smelled it, made him change his mind. What can we offer to God that would make him change his mind about what we're doing? Never curse the ground again. If you went to Exodus 30, you would find that God gave Moses specific instructions about a perfume that would be a sweet smell unto the Lord. And he said, look, this thing right here is holy. And so the people who make this, if you try to use it or sell it as a perfume, you will be cut off because this is for me only. So God looks for us to give him a sacrifice, a sweet aroma that goes up in his nostrils and pleases him. If we went to the book of Leviticus, we would see that the priest had to offer a burnt offering for sin, a grain offering for consecration, a peace offering for reconciliation, a sin offering for the atonement, and a guilt offering for repentance. All these things they were instructed to do to please God because they could not do it any other way. He gave specific instructions. And so they had to fulfill all these rituals and acts and stuff like that. But for us, we're the New Testament church, and all of that is encompassed in Christ. Because, see, one thing we all got to remember, we can act like we saved and holy and all this other kind of stuff, but we were a people who didn't have a God. Before Christ, we were a people who didn't have a God. We were a people who served idols. You know, and I'm going to tell you something else. All this, you know, sometimes we better be careful on how we look at black history in back in the day, you know, because everybody's talking about Egypt and all this other kind of stuff. Man, you look at all that idolatry and stuff like that. We started that. We started that. We started serving false gods. You know, look at Nimrod. The Bible says that he was a mighty hunter. He was so mighty that people started worshiping him. Black man. Yeah. So we better encompass ourselves in Christ. I'm not saying don't know your history. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that when it all comes down to it, it all culminates to Christ. And if you don't have him, all you got is history. Amen? Amen. And so here's the thing. I thank God I'm a New Testament church boy, because I'm here to tell you, I ain't trying to slaughter no doves and, you know, bulls and goats. And I ain't trying to do that. But Romans 15:4. Tells us, even though we're the New Testament church, Romans 15:4 tells us that the things that were written beforehand were for our knowledge. So even though we don't do all those rituals and stuff like that, it doesn't mean that it went away necessarily. Because again, it's all encompassed in Christ. But all those things were written so that we will know. And so, no sacrificing animals. Or grains, but we have to do what pleases God. And what pleases God? Anybody? What pleases God? Faith? Obedience. Obedience. That's how we give a sacrifice. You know, we can give the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, but if you ain't obedient, what good is it? You know, you're just going through the motions. And so, being obedient to God's word are the instructions that God gives us. See, God gave people in the Old Testament specific instructions. But for us, he gave us his word. And so if you ever want to know what God wants you to do, dig it up in that word. It's there. And so when we are obedient, we're that aroma. We're that sweet smell. We're obedient to God. And we're just as fragrant as a field of flowers, pleasing the Lord. But guess what? when we don't, we walk around smelling like a cesspool. Just an odor in the nostrils of God. And so here's the thing. Even though we're the New Testament church, God still has expectations for his people. See, he expects us to walk in love. He expects us to obey his commands. He expects us to walk upright. He expects us to speak the gospel. And then he expects us to preach the word. And I heard it told this way. Preach the word and use words only when you have to. Because check this out. People hear what you say, but they also see how you live. And so how many people do you know that can sit up and just spit off scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, but living just as raggedy as a 52 Jeep? And so one of those expectations that God has for us to be an aroma to him, a sweet aroma to him, is to change our minds, change our way of thinking. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to change your mind about the way you live. But guess what? Change ain't change unless you change. You catch that? Change ain't change unless you change. So why not just change? Is your way of living enough to sustain you in pleasing God? Or do you need to change? And I dare say a whole lot of us, myself included, need to change. But guess what? You're not going to be able to change in a way that's going to please God if it's not according to this word. Because, see, there's a lot of people who think that, you know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. See, you got a lot of people who think that they're doing the right thing. They think the way that they're doing it is right. They think that they're pleasing God. It cracks me up, boy, because, see, when you know your word and people know your word, a lot of times they try to get spiritual around you and say something that's so out of left field about a scripture, and you're like, hey, brother, that ain't what that means, man. Well, you know, man, that's just kind of what it means to me. Well, it can mean that to you, but the Bible can never mean what the Bible has never meant. So you can pour your little saying into it, but it ain't the truth. We have to know the word. We have to know the instructions. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, we live in the church age where people are trying their best to manufacture a fragrance, trying to manufacture an aroma. You know, we come to church, we all suited and booted, you know, and wearing the long skirts and, you know, and the big suits and the big hats and all these things. And you know, it's funny because the world sees that and they believe that you're holy. They believe that you're holy. But one thing I learned, and children, y'all can cover your ears when I say this, but I learned that a skirt can go up quicker than pants can come down. Huh? A skirt can go up quicker than pants can come down. So you might try to look holy. Huh? I've been in church a long time, man. The stories we could tell. Don't let the kids go to camp, boy, without proper chaperones. Oh, man. But, you know, we wear these clothes and we sing what I like to call these 7-Eleven songs. You know, 7-Eleven songs, you sing seven words 11 times and trying to make something happen instead of just cut it off. Let's move. But if the Spirit of God is moving, then you keep on. But a lot of times we are trying to manufacture a presence when that ain't what's really going down. And so here's something else that we try to do. You know, because the Lord sees all this and he knows what's in your heart. But then we try to fall back on that. Oh, man, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. He knows your heart. He knows your eyes. And what you're looking at. He knows your hands and what you're grabbing for. He knows your feet and where they're taking you. So you ain't fooling God. You know, it sounds good to us because we're not God. You know, sometimes they try to people try to use that to try to back you up. No. No, because see, the Bible says that Jesus said that you would know the truth and the truth will make you free. See, I don't want to be set free. I want to be made free. There's a difference. Because see, when you're made to do something, there's no choice in the matter. See, if I'm caged in the gate and I open the gate, I got a choice of whether I'm going to go out or not. But if they open that gate and push me out, I'm made to be free. And so that's what God's word does. Because when it gets down off in you, it's the truth, and you can't help but make you free. He knows it all, man. And so, you know, when we're talking about the heart, God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows your heart, but you don't know your own heart. See, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all. It's wicked. And then he finished it like this. Who can know it? Yeah, your heart is deceitful. Because even though you're doing your best to try to serve the Lord, let the enemy dangle the right thing in your face. Yeah, let him dangle the right thing in your face. There you go again. You got a choice you got to make. But see, here's the thing. To be a fragrance before the Lord, it starts out with coming out of that world. Come out of the world. You know, in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and the Lord will receive you. See, I'm here to tell you, sometimes when the world has its tentacles in you, you're doing your best to try to serve the Lord. You high praise and you just get the glory of the Lord in you when you're in the church, when you walk out the door. What happens? Here come them tentacles. Worse than an octopus trying to pull you this way, trying to pull you that way. And if you don't keep that anointing, if you don't stay under that anointing, if you don't fight to stay in that anointing, guess what? You fell for the okey-doke. So if we went back to 2 Corinthians, to our title chapter, 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, 14th verse. Yeah. I'll try this again. All right. 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. This was the part that I loved. Because, see, when we become a fragrant offering to him through Christ, you do it when you're walking right. You know, and so you when you're walking right, it's like you spread the aroma of Christ. You know, the Bible talks about the triumphant entry, and it's like when you come into the room, the aroma of Christ is just following you. People are picking up on the aroma of Christ. People see Christ in you. And here's the thing. Some people are going to run to it. Some people are going to run from it. Because, see, the one thing about the aroma of Christ, it's going to make you decide whether you receive him or not. Yeah. The aroma of Christ. You know, I think about, you know, I grew up in the 70s, man. So, you know, we used to watch Bugs Bunny all the time. And I think about Pepe Le Pew. Pepe Le Pew would go everywhere and you see that little smoke thing coming behind him. His aroma. But we are the same way in Christ. When we enter the room, it's like we win. We win, and the aroma of Christ is following me. And when I walk past you, You get the aroma of Christ. You got to make a decision. You know, because see, here's the thing. Some people know that they need Christ and they want Christ. But then you got those who want to detract when they see the aroma of Christ on you. Look here. Look who's coming in the room. Oh, Holy Roller. Holy Roller coming in here, y'all. The tongue-talking Jesus freak. Always talking about church. Always talking about God. But see, when you know what God has done for you, when you know where he's delivered you from, when you know where he's taking you according to his word, oh, yeah, I'm going to spread it. I'm going to spread it. You know anybody like that? Who, even in here, when they come in the door, it's like the room brightens up because they got the aroma of Christ. You know, it might be you, which is what we should strive for. Strive to be the aroma of Christ, because when I walk in the door, oh, you're going to smell Jesus. People ought to be able to smell Jesus on you. Real talk. Yes, ma'am. I can't hear you, baby. Well, I mean, you could take it, you know, where you know, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that when people see it, they're going to give God the glory. So if the light of Christ is shining in you, people should be giving the glory to God. So you're walking in the light. You know what? Here's the thing. I think that we need to really pay attention to who is speaking to us. You really need to pay attention to who's speaking to us, because a lot of people think they know stuff. They don't know nothing. And what they're doing is dragging you down a road that got a whole bunch of detours on it. The Bible says that this is the sure word of prophecy. You can't go wrong. The Bible says that the word of God, when it comes down, it is first pure. Then it's peaceable. See, people are telling you stuff. Ain't no peace in that. That ain't God. Real talk, that ain't God. So, you know, not to pick on you, but I would compare it to it. You know, because the light is Christ. And we want the aroma, so yeah, it's bright and smell good in here. Amen? But see, the Bible tells us that the opposite is true. If we were to look at verse 16, you know, I kind of got ahead of myself. But verse 16 says, to one, the fragrance of death to death. To the other, the fragrance of life to life. You know, people who don't want to hear about Jesus, they're on their way to death. And not just one death, but eternal death. Yes, willingly. Amen. What you said. Willingly. I don't know about you, but I was barbecuing the other day. I lifted the lid and burnt my finger. That's as close to hell as I ever want to get. I don't want no parts of hell. You know, and I don't love Jesus necessarily just because I'm not going to hell, but yeah, yeah, it's fire insurance. But I'm just going to tell you, man, if I can tell you about Christ and try to keep you out of hell, then guess what? I'm going to scare the hell out of you. Real talk, I'm going to scare the hell out of you. And yes, I said it. Because too many people are on their way to hell. They're coming in these doors, man. Just living any kind of way. Our pastor preaches a strong word that just skims over a whole bunch of people. And you can't say that he's not speaking the way you are, because a lot of stuff that he says is straight up slang. But that's who his audience is. And it's real word. And we walk out of here thinking that we're saved. Now, I'm going to tell you, me and our pastor, we might have a couple of differences, because I believe that if you have been saved, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are saved. You know, it ain't I'm saved yesterday and I'm not saved today. No, he's your keeper. He said, if you come unto me, Father, can't nobody pluck them out. But the real question is, are you saved? Are you saved? And if you are saved, are you that sweet aroma that the Lord is looking for? About to wrap this thing up, boy, because I done went long. I'm sorry, y'all. But isn't it ironic, you know, that even though they're in church, just because you are in church don't mean that you're saved. Kenneth, I can throw a biscuit in the garage, but it don't make it a car. You feel me? And so how do we worship God and be a fragrance and not an odor? One, you got to, the Bible says in Peter, you got to examine yourself. See, you know, he said, look, examine yourself to see if you be of the faith. Because, see, you know what you're doing. You know, you can walk around and praise the Lord and glory to God and ha ba ba, sha ba ba, and all that. But is it real? You know, we used to have an elder, he would say, you know what, you can run die, shine die, coming in a Hyundai, but is it real? You know, ta-ta, my bow tie. You know, E-D-D-I-E. It spells Eddie. E-D-D-I-E. Sounded just as spiritual as it did. Yeah. Miss me with that. But then you have to submit yourself unto God. Because I'm here to tell you, you are not going to please God doing it your way. It's just not going to happen. And then you got to come to God in spirit and in truth. Because he, you know, I think that was one of the strongest things that could be said in the word. You know, the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. Because that's what the Father seeks. We go around and we do all these other kind of things, but is that what the Father seeks? He's seeking spirit and truth. Don't walk around like you the holiest thing going on and living a life raggedy as a trash can. There's a lot of that, man. It's a lot of that. And I think a lot of times we need to question ourselves. Is what I'm doing pleasing to the Lord? Is it pleasant to the Lord, or am I just going through the church motions because it looks good and because I'm talented and I can sing? And boy, and then, you know, there's going to be a time when we all stand before the Lord. And you're going to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I casted out devils. And, you know, when I preached, oh, I made them buck. And I made them shout. And the Lord is going to look at you and say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Oh, that's scary to me. When it's easy for us to do it the right way now. It's easy for us to do it now. But then also, and I thank the Lord for Alan, because he gives me another godly man to talk to. See, that's one thing that we have got to do. You got to connect with your godly brothers and sisters, because if you don't, you're going to have friends. You know, you can say, oh, I don't really mess with too many people. Well, the people that you mess with, are they godly? And if not, are they leading you down the wrong way, or are you trying to lead them to Christ? Because, see, here's the thing. When you leave the world, It's funny how the Lord works it out where the world will leave you. I remember, because boy, I'm here to tell you, I was that cat in the streets. You know, I wasn't out there selling no dope and banging and all this old crazy stuff. But I was just always in traffic. And my nickname back home is Flip. And so I'm in the streets so hard, everybody know Flip. But one day, the Lord, he shined his light on me. And I received him. And when I received him, I was going home and I saw one of my closest dogs. In fact, his nickname is Dog. And I said, hey, man, I gave my life to the Lord today. You join church, man? No, man, no, I ain't talking about joining no church. I'm talking about I gave my life to the Lord today, man. Too many times we confuse that. When you join church like you saved. No! Did you give your life to the Lord? And if you did, are you going to submit yourself? Are you going to be obedient? Because, see, that's what's real, is the obedience. So, just know this. God's word is going to be speaking today. When the word comes forth, it's going to be speaking. And you know what? You got to decide, am I going to be a fragrance or an odor? Now, if you already have decided in your heart from just hearing this small word, you know, Lord, I'm an odor. The Lord is so gracious that he'll look at you and say, you know what? You ain't got to stay that way. We can fix this right now. Because, see, here's the one thing that I know. You know, there's a saying that people like to say that Jesus, you know, Jesus said, come as you are. You won't find that anywhere in the Word of God. Not even remotely written like that. But there is truth in that. Come to him as you are. He'll receive you. And he loves you so much that when you come as you are, he loves you enough to not let you stay that way. Come in, yeah. And in fact, a lot of us wouldn't even come to Christ if we didn't have a raggedy situation that he had to pull us up out of. And we came to him any kind of way. But guess what? He doesn't allow us to stay that way. So in closing, today, the Bible says, today, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart like the Israelites did. Make a decision. Am I going to be a fragrance or am I going to be an odor? Amen? Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. God is good.